Welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. A landmark decision today from the U.S. Supreme Court. The case, Janus versus American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. In a 5-4 decision, the conservative majority held that public sector workers represented by unions cannot be required to pay union dues. Janus is viewed by many as the most important ruling the court will make this year. With us is University of Toledo law professor Joseph Slater. The court's ruling overturned legal precedent actually from a Michigan case that dates back to 1977, Abood versus Detroit Board of Education. How rare is it for the Supreme Court to overturn one of its own decisions?
Well, obviously it has happened throughout history, but the principle of stare decisis, where courts will, or the Supreme Court, will continue to follow its own precedent unless there is a very good reason to change it, is strong. And indeed, the majority and the dissent in the case that we're going to talk about, the Janus case, did get into an extended argument about whether that was things had changed enough to justify the overturning of Abood.
So it is a significant step that it overturned its own decision from 1977.
Yes, it's unusual, especially when a decision had been in place for this long and arguably had not been presenting any tremendous difficulties.
The majority opinion in this case in Janus, authored by Justice Alito, reads, and I'm quoting here, "We recognize the importance of following precedent unless there are strong reasons for not doing so. But there are very strong reasons in this case." What are those reasons, according to this opinion?
Well, the majority would say that two things, one of which is that Abood was wrong in the first place by not looking sufficiently hard or exercising sufficiently high scrutiny on a law that ostensibly limited the First Amendment rights of some employees. That would be the argument of the majority, and also that facts have shown, according to the majority, that contrary to what Abood held, that union security agreements are not a necessary part of keeping labor peace and having effective labor relations. So said the majority. The dissent pointed out that in a long series of cases involving individual employees and their First Amendment rights to speak on the job, that the court has and continues to give tremendous deference to government employers in managing workplace matters, and that also the state has a significant interest in labor peace and the types of productive labor relations that unions can bring.
Justice Kagan's dissent strongly opposes overturning the precedent. In fact, she writes, "This decision weaponizes the First Amendment in a way that unleashes judges now and in the future to intervene in economic and regulatory policy." Does this ruling, in your view, open up new ways to use the First Amendment?
Yes. I mean, I think we have already seen, for example, in the cases involving abortion providers, yesterday in Citizens United in the Masterpiece case, we've seen the First Amendment being used, or in Justice Kagan's terms, weaponized to accomplish conservative goals in the way that it had not in previous generations. I think there is possibly a slight opening for public employees, especially individual public employees, to cite Janus as a basis for more robust protections for individual employees. But I fear that Justice Kagan is correct when she says in her dissent that this case will prove to be an exception to a general rule and an exception that only applies to unions.
What does this mean on the ground for public sector unions? In particular, will it have an impact in Michigan, which is already a right-to-work state?
Well, that's an excellent question. So in states that are already right-to-work, as Michigan has been for a few years now, there will be no immediate difference. Union security clauses in contracts will continue to be illegal, and members can continue to enjoy the benefits of unionization without having to pay for them. In states like mine, however, in states like Ohio and California, New York, the New England states, western coastal states, and the many states that have strong union representation that are currently not right to work, meaning that currently permit unions to have union security clauses to charge members for those activities, for the cost of representing those members, it'll be a real financial hit to unions because, frankly, people like getting services without paying for them. And the key thing to understand in this whole area of law is that a legal doctrine called the duty of fair representation generally requires unions to represent members of union bargaining units equally, regardless of whether or not they pay dues. So, for example, if Jane is a member of a union bargaining unit and not paying any dues, and Jane gets fired, and she says to the union, hey, would you take my case to arbitration through the contract procedure that you negotiated? Even though Jane didn't pay for any of the costs of negotiating that contract, even though Jane won't pay for the costs of that arbitration, which can be many thousands of dollars, the union can't say, cannot legally say, gee, Jane, you didn't pay us for any of our costs for these protections, so we won't represent you. In fact, the union has to take Jane's case as if she were a dues-paying member. This imposes a tremendous financial hardship on unions, and unions in states like mine will see that hardship come to life very quickly. People will, again, enjoy the benefits of union membership, but they will decide not to pay. As I often say, I like my Wi-Fi company fine, but if they were legally required to provide me Wi-Fi without me paying for it, I might not pay for it, and that's the situation with unions. As a general matter, the prediction is that unions will lose about 30% of their membership with the accompanying loss of 30% of their income. That will matter a lot for representing workers at the workplace, and it will matter a lot in politics, which I think is really the underlying motivation for this litigation. There was some evidence today that showed that when a state became right to work, that the share of Democratic voters fell over 3%. So I think this is going to hurt unions at the workplace and Democrats at the ballot box.
Joseph Slater, University of Toledo law professor. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.